Today, the sermon is based on the Reformation. In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. It was a courageous thing to do, but somebody was already there. That's a child's poem and song. You may have remembered it from when you were young and in school. Many of the ships in those days had passengers who were seeking religious freedom. That's what the Reformation is all about, religious freedom. In the 1400s, lady leadership caused deviation from Orthodox Catholic teachings. Authority to interpret scripture and doctrine was given to the Catholic Church, scripture and doctrine alone. Writers such as Erasmus and Thomas More criticized the failings of the clergy. Some bishops and abbots had obtained their positions through purchases, not by merit and sincerity. In 1505, Martin Luther, after almost being struck by lightning during a storm, withdrew from law school and became an Augustinian monk. Although he chastised himself, as many monks did back then, he demonstrated remarkable academic talents, and in 1508, received an assignment to the faculty at the University of Wittenberg, attaining the title of friar. There is a lot of history involved in this, and I will go through it. While teaching courses on the Psalms, Hebrews, Romans, and Galatians, Luther concluded that the Catholic Church had lost sight of the biblical understanding of justification and righteousness. No works of penance, regardless of their number, I looked up and I shouldn't have, could achieve righteousness. Justification, which is forgiveness, was obtainable through faith alone, that's sola fide. The cheer of forgiveness brings righteous works, not the opposite way around. Faith in Christ through God's grace brings justification. The law is what to do, not how to do it. Martin Luther felt very strongly that faith through the grace of God was achieved from the scriptures, not through any small single group's directions. Luther began teaching and preaching his beliefs, creating conflict with the Catholic authorities. Johann Tetzel, a Dominican monk, was selling papal indulgences near Wittenberg. Tetzel was offering complete remission of all punishments for sins, even those not yet committed, or even those for the dead in purgatory, to anyone who donated to the construction of St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. It's still there. Catholic doctrine only gave remissions to those who fully and sincerely repent of their sins. Tetzel simply sold to anybody who had cash. Luther, disgusted with Tetzel's abuse of indulgences, wrote a list of 95 theses challenging the sale of indulgences. He also rejected the right of the Pope to authorize indulgences, whether sold or freely dispensed. This rejection rested on a denial of papal authority to forgive sins and of the power of any penance in achieving righteousness. On October 31st, 1517, that's 504 years ago today, Luther nailed his 95 theses written in Latin to the door of the Wittenberg Chapel. There was a lot of talk about this later, saying he mailed, not nailed them, but it couldn't be true, because after all, email never got anybody anywhere back then. However, it was difficult for the locals to read the documents, as they almost all only read German. The theses were translated into German and printed on the newly invented printing press, now known as the Wittenberg Press. Perhaps an invention helped along by God. The theses were rapidly distributed across Germany and further. 55 of these theses dealt with indulgences and purgatory. The Archbishop of Mainz forwarded the theses to Rome rather than to address Luther himself, because this was against the Catholic teachings right then. Luther further developed his theology, rejecting apostolic succession, enjoying councils as the ultimate arbiter in matters of faith and doctrine. A year and a half later, Pope Leo X, who had been assigned to and promoted from positions by the family ties and or paying money for same, responded with sharp criticisms of Luther and summoned him to Rome. Luther ended up meeting with the Pope's representative at Augsburg. Luther refused to cease preaching. Leo X formally excommunicated Luther in 1520 and appealed to Charles V. He's the HRE, or the honored holy or whatever. Holy Roman Empire. That's what it is, Holy Roman Empire, to enforce the edict. Charles V summoned Luther and had him defend himself at the city of Worms. The Diet, a type of parliament, condemned Luther's writings and ordered him to renounce his beliefs. Luther refused and was declared an outlaw. Luther's response to Pope Leo X had been, "It is better that I should die 1,000 times than that I should retract one syllable of the condemned articles." And as they excommunicated me for the sacrilege of heresy, so I excommunicate them in the name of the sacred truth of God. Christ will judge whose excommunication will stand. Frederick of Saxony hid Luther in his castle, protecting him from the emperor's agents. They would have put him in a cell and alone for the entire time, but he had been hidden. In 1522, Luther emerged from hiding, returning to Wittenberg to reform church practices and to moderate some of his more radical followers. By the time of his death, he wrote extensively, addressing a wide variety of theological concerns. Many issues of church governance and significant problems of the Christian life were handled. He participated in the Marburg Colloquy in 1529, a conference to find unity among divergent Protestant groups, and the following year collaborated with Philip Melanchthon in writing the Augsburg Confession, the Lutheran Statement of Faith. Luther left a widespread and well-established church. Several offshoots from the Catholic Church were created. Of note, the Anabaptists and the John Calvin groups. The Anabaptists believe that government should be totally ignored by their people. In other words, people in their church were free to do whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted, because they were not subservient to their government. Calvinists disagreed with Luther, or rather, they disagreed with them. Along with Luther, they felt that government should only be involved with religion by protecting it from any attacks. The Magna Carta Libertarum is a royal charter of rights agreed to by King John of England at Runnymede near Windsor on 15 June 1215. It promised the protection of church rights. When the Constitution of the USA was created, its basis was taken from the Magna Carta. The First Amendment to the Constitution reads, "Church shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof." That's very straightforward, no question about that. Many of the problems which had caused the Reformation, we can see happening today. For instance, the government required closing of churches during the pandemic. That was during a time when churches were drastically needed. The hierarchical leadership of established religious sectors is another one of the Reformation problems. This causes offshoots such as LCMC or ECCO for very similar problems. The reason why we need the church is very simply because there is life of joy after death. And it's the faith in Jesus Christ which brings you to the afterlife. It is not a penalty to an individual, but an individual person of faith will be happy when they have died, for the simple reason that they've gone to a much better place. I know a lot of people have suffered through friends, neighbors, anything, of people who have died and such. And it is indeed a very sad thing for a family or a friend to see them go. But it is also a very, very serious thing to realize. They're watching you. They're having a much better life. Everything they ever wanted, they now have. And you, when it is time for you to go, you'll be in the same place. You'll be with everyone you loved and wanted. Can you imagine the amount of love which was bestowed on us from Jesus by going up on the cross and dying for us? Think of all the freedom and love we are getting from the love of Jesus Christ. Amen.